It's 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, and it's Friday, TGIF, which stands for Thank God It's Friday, or the government is, put your own F word in there. Yep. I mean, it's Feel Good Friday, do what you want, right? Within reason, and as long as it doesn't interrupt somebody else's constitutional right. Here's the thing about social media. I want to talk about that for a second before we bring Donald Jeffries in, because it has everything to do with what Don and I are going to be talking about in this hour, and he is on the horn with us. Attorney General Ashley Moody in Florida has filed an appeal with the Supreme Court asking the court to decide if states have the power to regulate how social media companies moderate content on their platforms, given the growing public interest in the issue of social media censorship. And they think, of course, the Supreme Court might have difficulty refusing to hear the case. And it's all about, you know, the infamous laptop and whatnot. Texas, meanwhile, according to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, they rejected arguments that the Texas law on how they ban large social media companies from restricting posts based on the viewpoint of the speaker. You know, they actually upheld it. They are basically enforcing the law which bans social media from blocking users based on viewpoints. Now, why is this important to our conversation we're having with Donald Jeffries? Understand, he's an author. We've talked to him before on the show about On Borrowed Fame, his book about money mysteries and the corruption in the entertainment world. And a lot of you enjoyed that one. We got another book out called Hidden History, an expose of modern crimes, conspiracies, and cover-ups in American politics, available at Amazon, by the way. Donald Jeffries has been researching the JFK assassination since the mid-70s when he was a student volunteer at Mark Lane's Citizens Committee of Inquiry, or Inquiry, as the British would like to say. He's the author of the cult novel The Unreals and the bestsellers Hidden History, Survival of the Richest, Crimes and Cover-ups of American Politics, 1776 to 1963, Bullyocracy, and On Borrowed Fame. And so, you know, when we're talking about those two stories I just mentioned, that all plays into conspiracy theory and cover-ups, because when they want something kept out like Hunter Biden's laptop, or you say something, well, the banks killed JFK because he was toying with putting out no-interest U.S. Treasury notes, and they killed Lincoln, too, and all of a sudden now you're not job, you're a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, you got to disregard some of the name-calling, because, again, I always say, is that the best you got? Donald Jeffries, welcome back to the show, sir.
No, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, and the thing is, you've been researching JFK and all of this stuff, and we've all, I remember the time I got off the bus and all of a sudden somebody ran out, the neighbor ran out and said, JFK was just shot. And we're like, what? You know, totally blown away. We're just grade school kids, for crying out loud. You know, so when you hear stuff like that, and then you, of course, had a fascination for it, obviously, you know, there was a reason why you decided to take up that research. What, I guess, you know, you were a student volunteer with the Committee of Inquiry, but I'm just kind of wondering what really pushed your button about writing a book like this?
Well, the JFK assassination was the it's still my wheelhouse issue. It's the one that got me started down the rabbit holes. And again, as a seven-year-old when he was killed, I too learned about it. I think I was going on the bus and the bus driver told us. But my family was Catholic. And so, you know, that's really the first kind of public figure I really remember well is JFK. And everybody in the family just kind of adored him. And I had never seen, you know, such sadness in my house during the coverage of it. And I heard lots of commentary and all of it was nobody thought Oswald did it. Let's put it that way. So as a 7 year old, I was skeptical even then. But I, you know, I kind of put it aside for a while. It's still one of my earliest memories of, you know, the funeral and the coverage and the TV being on much later than usual. Because back then, you know, the networks went off the air earlier. But and I really kind of didn't start addressing the issue again until I just happened to read something. It was actually a Penthouse magazine as a teenager where they had excerpts from George O'Toole's book, The Assassination Tapes. And that kind of whet my appetite. I said, wow, I got to read more of this. So then I realized there were all these books out there. I just really wasn't aware of it that had already been written. Mark Lane's Rest of Judgment, Harold Weisberg's Whitewash, Sylvia Marr's Accessories After the Fact. And I read all of them very quickly, and I was hooked. You know, it's like I'd be, you know, it's almost like a drug. You know, you can't let it go. And I was intrigued by the minutia, and still am. You know, I can still argue about a really minute point of the JFK assassination, which most people probably aren't interested in. But that obviously led me to other things, and it didn't take me long to realize, hey, this wasn't an isolated event. You know, obviously RFK assassination, RFK would never have been killed if JFK hadn't have been, and Martin Luther King, and then eventually, especially when the 90s started, and I call it Conspiracy Central under Clinton with Waco and Oklahoma City, and later the death of JFK Jr. I mean, that's basically what this book, Hidden History, covered. Or all these events, basically from the JFK assassination up and through the Obama years. Trump, I don't think Trump's name's mentioned in the book, amazingly enough. So, and it was only published, I guess, 2014, so that shows how quickly he came to dominate the political scene.
What's one of the reasons why, you know, we have you on? And the thing is, and folks, if you have comments, whatever your conspiracy theories are, 844-769-2944 is the number to call to chime in on what we're talking about here. I remember way back in the late 70s, I was reading Dan Sarver's JFK Assassination Fascination. Don't know if you've ever read that, but, you know, that kind of got me started down that path, because here I'm watching, they have Oswald in custody, and all of a sudden you see the video and you see this guy come out of the lower right-hand corner and put a bullet in Oswald's gut. And come to find out that person is Jack Ruby, who's got terminal cancer. Isn't it amazing how all that gets wiped out?
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, I don't think we heard he had terminal cancer until a couple of years later, where he had he didn't appear sick before then. I mean, that was November 24th, 1963. And then he died, I think, in early 1965 when he was awaiting a new trial. And he had made several provocative comments. In the meantime, there's one videotape of him saying that powerful people were involved and it was a conspiracy on video, but you still have the lone nutter say, oh, it's, you know, he have a deathbed. Supposedly they have him on his deathbed, where his ridiculous brother Earl taped him saying there was no conspiracy. But, you know, I think I'll go with the video, which is much clearer and it's pretty obvious what he's saying. But he developed cancer shortly after he started talking. And we, in the assassination community, we used to call it galloping cancer. Because it was really fast.
galloped right into his cell, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what happened. You remember in the Clinton era when Susan, you know, one of his little confidants there did not want to.
Susan McDougal.
Yeah, McDougal. Yeah, yeah, remember her husband all of a sudden got a visit from
McDougal.
Somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's dead?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what they knew, you know? I mean, people look at us and go, well, they killed him. They killed him. We know they killed him. Well, have you ever, what do you know about the Hugh McDonald book called Appointment in Dallas? Ever heard of that one?
Yeah, I had. I read that. I wouldn't call that one of the better ones. For the most part.
Oh, it's not one of the better ones.
I don't think so. But I mean, again, I've read them all. And because when people call me a conspiracy theorist, I tell them, look, I'm a conspiracy analyst. That's what Gore Vidal called it. So I'll go with his term, conspiracy analyst, because the people that rule us are conspirators by any definition. They're always conspiring against the public interest. So if people can tell me what my theory is, let me know, because I don't know what it is. I don't theorize Hidden History. There's no theorizing in there. I just present facts. Hugh McDonald's book, and I don't remember exactly. I don't know if he thought the Russians were behind it or something, or if he thought Oswald was a shooter. I can't, but I just remember at the time, not thinking it was up to snuff compared to the other books, because there, again, he was presenting a theory about what happened. So any of the books, whether it's that or James Files, things like that, that people, Judith Barry Baker, who's very popular in the assassination research community now, when people tell you they know what happened, again, they're not presenting proof that's going to convince me. Because, I mean, all I know is that they lied to you, and what they claim happened didn't happen. Whoever killed JFK, it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. So if anybody, like Hugh McDonald or anyone else, says that Oswald was a shooter, well, I know they're wrong, because I've analyzed the evidence. He was set up as a patsy. I think he was an undercover agent for the FBI or something at the time of the assassination, and he was told to infiltrate a group that was plotting to kill the president. He was actually thought he was stopping it. And that's how he got in the center of all that and inadvertently was turned into a patsy. I think that's what Jim Garrison thought, and that's what I believe as well. So anybody that says he fired shots, I'm sorry, the evidence just shows that he didn't. We may not know a whole lot else that the evidence shows, because, again, it wasn't – the problem with the JFK assassination is that you're talking about almost 60 years ago now, 59 years.
For sure.
And it wasn't it wasn't investigated at the time. And as people, when you tell people that, it's like, you know, there's never been an honest investigation of the JFK assassination. I can give tons of evidence for that as well. The House, that's what I, when I got my start as a teenager working with Mark Lane's group, we were lobbying Congress, and that eventually did result in the House Select Committee on Assassinations. And it was a huge disappointment to all of us. Very, you know, very, you know, it became me a lot, it made me a lot more jaded and cynical at a very young age, because I realized, wow, you know, this is when I first started realizing the press, because at that time I had aspirations. I want to be a reporter like Woodward and Bernstein, you know, and I thought they were the good guys. I thought the liberal Democrats were the good guys, because that's what I was, a very radical one. But I thought the Democrats were the good guys. And it just really, really disillusioned me, because when I saw that you couldn't, I couldn't interest anybody, because we were told to call local reporters and try to contact them well before the internet. Obviously today we'd probably just be emailing them, and they just poo-pooed us. The few ones that would talk to us had no interest, just ridiculed the entire notion. And
and that's part of the cover-up, though, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we have somebody, Donald, by the way, who I know has been a big avid fan of conspiracy theories. Mary in Kansas, you're on the phone with Donald Jeffries. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It's the great deception of the Bible, and it is this. Miles W. Mathis proved that all these royal inbred cousins faked their deaths in his essay, It's Hidden Kings, including royal Lee Harvey Oswald, best buddies with Jackie Kennedy's uncle, George de Morenchild. Hidden Kings, Miles Mathis, tells about all these rich scions that are actually royals, including Martin Luther King and his cousin, James Earl Ray. They're all royal. They're all cousins. And he tells you how they did it, including the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald went oof and grabbed his stomach over his black sweater so you couldn't see any fake blood or any blood. Said oof before the shot was fired.
Huh, interesting. Interesting, Mary. Interesting. Don, what do you think?
Well, I am very familiar with Miles Mathis. And I'll tell you a little story about Miles Mathis. But the first way I became aware of him was years ago. Somebody alerted me to the fact that on his blog, which is very entertaining, I'll give you that. And he's a brilliant guy in his own ways, and some of what he says makes sense. But he basically thinks nothing is real. He thinks everything has been faked, which, okay, I can be a little open to that. But he doesn't think I'm real either. And he, in the early one, that's where, somebody said, hey, you know, this guy Miles Mathis wrote about you, and he wrote about the late great Dave McGowan. I was honored that he coupled me with Dave McGowan. Dave McGowan wrote Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon about Laurel Ridge, a great book, and wrote some other. He was the first one to really call out the child sex trafficking internationally, called it the pedophocracy. That's still online as well. Did great work on the Boston bombing and lots of things. Lincoln assassination, and he died of a galloping cancer, very similar to Jack Ruby's mother. And he died on November 22nd, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yes, unbelievably enough. It's cosmic coincidence. But in this, Miles Mathis, in this article, said that just look up at people like Don Jeffries and Dave McGowan. They're ghosts. You can't find a trace of them anywhere. Now, search for me online, folks. I've done so many interviews. You can see way too many pictures of my mug, probably. So I'm out there everywhere. So that told me, okay, he's not doing much of his research if he's claiming I'm not real or Dave McGowan's not real. Maybe he thinks Dave McGowan faked his own death, too. But the problem when you get into that, then no one takes anything seriously that you say. If the JFK assassination was faked, which is what Miles Mathis thinks, then, and some other people do as well, then again, there's no point in analyzing any part of history because it's all fake. And so I think you have to be, you know, I've talked about Sandy Hook and all those events, and I think there are a lot of questionable elements there, and we should question it. But you have to start with the premise that some things are real and some people are real. And Miles Mathis, I've tried to get him on my show. And he, in addition to everything else, he's a very arrogant guy. And he basically told me, I don't do interviews. Like, he's above the fray. I said, okay, I don't know how many other people are asking you to be interviewed. But so that's my thing about that. I think he's brilliant in his own way, but he doesn't think I'm real. And he doesn't. So I don't know how he thinks I have a show. You know, but anyhow, he's above appearing on it.
Wow. Mary, is that that's enlightening, isn't it?
Harvey Oswald, more royal than the kings of England. Look at the genealogy. All presidents are cousins. Look at that. Just ignore Miles Mathis. Move on. Look at the genealogies. How come Lee Harvey Oswald was buddies with Jackie Kennedy's uncle, George DeMora?
Okay, well, let me correct you for a second. George DeMora was not Jackie Kennedy's uncle. He actually dated Jackie Kennedy's mother. And yes, people should question. And he bounced young Jackie on his knee. But people should question that, because that was a bizarre. George Marshall had intelligence connections, connections to everything. And he was old enough to be Lee Harvey Oswald's father. Obviously, he was some kind of handler for Lee Harvey Oswald. I have never heard anything about Lee Harvey Oswald's royal lineage. Certainly all the presidents except Martin Van Buren, every one of them are related in some way. You're right about that. But that wasn't Miles Mathis, the Yippies, actually. Back in the days of Jerry Rum, that was one of their more interesting points of research. They were the first ones to come up with that. So there's truth in what you're saying, but I just wouldn't blindly trust Miles Mathis, because, like I said, he doesn't think I'm real. So hopefully you think I'm real if you're talking to me.
Well, we appreciate that, Mary. Thanks so much. Phil in Florida, you're on the line with Donald Jeffries. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Don. I look forward to Monday nights when you're on with Jeff Rince.
Thank you.
The thing that with these conspiracies that are never were never held to account, and because so that allows for them to continue to happen, and you look at Vietnam with all that came out about the Gulf of Tonkin. But what I want to get at, and it relates to you as well, or your family, that we didn't deal with 9/11, and there was so much evidence, you know, the tough New Yorkers, and I'm from New York, they decided to, you know, wave the flag and send bomber planes to Iraq and, you know, kill a bunch of brown people instead of stand up. Well, they knew what happened. And because of that, I believe we're in the tyranny that we're in now with this whole COVID nonsense, you know, because the same cast of the same people that are behind all these things, you know, Kennedy's and, you know, all that, all 9/11 and this COVID thing. And I was listening to a show right after the Power Hour yesterday, and there's actually lawyers that are now suing these Christian guys, and I'll email Dave the name and the website after I sign off. But just like your brother, and I remember you talking about your brother when he was still alive, and yes, you were trying to prevent him getting killed, and he got killed. And like another guest on the Power Hour is a good friend of mine, Alex Newman, and they did the same thing to his father. And there's actually lawyers now, these Christian guys, that are going after it, and they're having success. They've got a lot of evidence of remdesivir and all that.
Yes.
And I wanted to make you and the listeners aware, and I could email Dave more information on it. But if we can, we got to stop this never-ending cycle, or they're going to pull another one. You know, it goes on and on. So that's what I wanted to say, and my sympathies for your brother. My heart aches, you know, hearing you tell the story. And thanks for the time, Dave.
I'll email you
the information. Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. God bless. All right, so what do you think about all of this? I mean, I'm looking at the table of contents of your book, and I'm like, oh my God, Don, you're covering you're covering everything in here. I'm like, look at the Wellstone plane crash. I mean, I was so enamored with that. I go, it was EMP. They took him out with EMP. They had a manual device. They pointed at his plane. The FBI was already damn near at the crash site by the time the thing went down.
Yes.
I mean, you know this thing. All these things, none of it just added up. And I don't see how that could be a conspiracy.
Well, there's a reason why Hidden History is still by far and away the best-selling one of my books, and it still continues to be, even though it's my first nonfiction. And it's a result of Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics, 1776-1963, which has a foreword by Ron Paul, which I was very proud of. That's kind of a prequel to that. It covers earlier conspiracies and cover-ups. And now I just completed Hidden History 3, more from the American memory hole. So I sent that to the publisher. Hopefully they'll publish it. So Well, the Hidden History, and it dives even deeper into 9/11 and JFK, JFK Jr., all the stuff, Oklahoma City that I wrote about in that, many of the things. But I want to tell Phil, thank you for the kind words. And I think he's talking about, I think one of the names was Josh Hamilton. But Dave, if he sends you that email with their contact info, if you could forward that to me, I'd appreciate it, because I want to try to get one. I think he's probably talking about the two guys I saw interviewed on Alex Jones recently. And it almost brought me to tears because, just step by step, what they described is exactly what they did with my brother. And this is, apparently happening to who knows, we don't know how many thousands, maybe millions of people. So hopefully they can be successful in these class action lawsuits. I mean, I know how class action lawsuits work. It's not like anybody's going to get any money out of it.
But except the attorneys.
Exactly, except the attorneys. But if you can get them to admit wrongdoing, that's a small step, because as Phil points out, this is, and that's why I say, when people say, you think everything's a conspiracy? Well, yes, I do, because I think that we're being run by conspirators. And this is, think of it as this is standard operating procedure for them. They don't know any other way how to conduct business. This is what they do. If someone's in their way, they kill them or they have them killed. I don't know. Maybe, for all we know, the intelligence agency's budgets have been top secret forever. And nobody on the left or the right seems to care about that. I mean, don't you think we have a right to know at least how much we're spending on the CIA and the NSA and the FBI and everything, let alone what they're doing with it? So, they have so many black holes in these budgets. They could have a literal hit squad. And if you look at all the unnatural deaths that have occurred, and I have tons of them in Hidden History, and really in all my books, you'll see that something is happening there. And we're apparently paying for it. So,
well, we're going to be back with more of that discussion after the break. Folks, this is something, I mean, you cannot help but stay glued to the show. We're going to be getting into a lot of these other conspiracies. And if you've got any input, the phone number, 844-769-2944. Back with the Power Hour, Don Jeffries, Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Friends. And you are my friends. Welcome to the Power Hour. Can you say hallelujah? Wow. Truth, injustice, and the American way, right? Yeah. Dave Krieger with you. Donald Jeffries is with us. He is a conspiracy theory author. He has The Hidden History of Contemporary American Politics, 50 Years of Murder, Corruption, and Scandal. And I'm sitting here thumbing through the book, and I'm looking at the first chapters. And chapter one, The Mother of All Conspiracies, JFK, the 60s, the 70s, the Reagan years, trickle-down treachery. You know, and I'm looking at all of this stuff and going, my God, there's people in here I've forgotten about for so long. I don't even know who our Bud Dwyer was. And I'm sure if I Googled him, I would say, oh, you know what? I must have missed that story. Rex 84. I certainly knew what that was, you know, where we built all these concentration camps. But of course, they were not to hold us. They were to hold, you know, all these people who were allegedly going to be deported.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy, Don. You put on these various ideas, and they either love them or they hate them. And so yeah. I got to wonder, we all know that Vince Foster wasn't left-handed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Everybody's asking that. And see, I always say on my show, how many Wacos and Ruby Ridges is it going to take for people to wake up? And now do you remember when Jerry Spence, who's Randy Weaver's attorney, wrote the book From Freedom to Slavery?
Yes. I
cried when I read the first chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Randy Weaver just died and all that. I've been trying to get his daughter, Sarah, on the show, but she's, you know, she hasn't answered me. The Weavers actually are one of the feel good stories actually in all this, because the government obviously killed Sarah Weaver while she, you know, Lon Horiuchi blew Sarah Weaver's head. Vicky Weaver's head off. She was holding a baby, and then Lon Horiuchi was the sharpshooter of the FBI. William Barr, who was Donald Trump's curious choice to drain the swamp, he was a character witness for Lon Horiuchi. So he supported the guy who blew a woman's head off as she stood in her doorway. So all those of you out there who actually thought William Barr was going to drain the swamp, you don't need to know much else about his Bush crime family career other than that. But that was but they at least Randy Weaver and his daughters, because they killed his son as well, killed his son's dog, but shot son in the back, by the way, too, as he was running, a 14-year-old kid.
Yep. And what about William Dagan? Did they ever figure out whether that was friendly fire?
I think that was their rationale, right? But you know, at least they ended up getting paid. I think they get $1 million or something, which from a jury. So that doesn't happen too often in our horrible, horrific court system. It probably wouldn't, because things have slid downhill so much even since then. Now that I don't think that they could have found a jury or a court anywhere that would have paid them, because they certainly would have been demonized as the worst of insurrectionists.
Yeah. I mean, then they bought Bo Greitz in. I mean, you know, and Bo talked him out allegedly, but. The thing is on Ruby Ridge and what happened with Randy, I mean, he did 18 months, but it wasn't for anything that he did wrong. It was for failure to appear. Right. And, you know, the story was his wife told him, don't go up, you know, don't show up in court. They're going to hang you out to dry. And should he have, you know, gotten Jerry Spence sooner? Yeah. And I've actually talked to Jerry. So it's one of these things where when you're looking at something like that, they isolate and then demonize and then cover it up. And that's exactly what happened in the thing with Horiuchi. The state of Idaho went after him. and it went nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and that's why, you know, the Phil, with the caller Phil was, that's a question we should all be all on our mind. At what point are they going to be held accountable? But they're not going to be. And
no,
that's
they got
the
promoted.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They always do. And this, you're seeing what's happening. And it's because of, and that's why I write about history, because people don't understand history. And it, basically, if you just read that book, if you read my earlier book, The Prequel, Crimes and Cover-Ups, you'll see that this is nothing new and that we did not arrive at this Orwellian point that we're at by accident. We arrived here because all these things that I talk about in Hidden History, all the things I talk about in the earlier book, all these things happened. And the American people at the time, when they were much smarter, they weren't, you know, they weren't dumbed down to the fact that we're losing like 10 IQ points a generation or whatever it has been for the last several generations. We were seemingly more educated then, but they fell for it. They allowed it to happen over and over again, these abridgments of our rights, and especially, certainly, I call the America we live in now America 2.0. People can check out my Substack, I Protest, the same name of my weekly show, I Protest, which airs on rockfin.com today, actually, every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. I hope Phil listens to that as well. And it's, you know, this is, because I'm always protesting something, but people, you know, if you look at the things that you talk about, Arbud Dwyer and people like that, people have forgotten so many of these things. And they say, who's that? And then they'll usually say, oh, yeah, I remember Lori Klassoudis. You know, I talk about her in there, which explains, you know, it's connected to Joe Scarborough. You know, dead intern found in his office with a head wound. Nothing happens. Why, he was a member of Congress. I mean, just imagine if you're a businessman and a young woman, young, attractive woman, is found dead in your office with a head wound. Do you think you might come under some kind of scrutiny? Joe Scarborough came under no scrutiny at all, and he was in, kicked upstairs theoretically, and now he's one of the worst elements out there in this absurd fake media as an alleged journalist with Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter on these, one of these awful shows that I don't know how anybody could possibly watch, and they should use probably for torture at Guantanamo Bay, because I think the prisoners would probably rather be executed than watch that kind of stuff. But that's, those are the kind of stories that are in there that people have forgotten. But that's why we are where we are. When the term hate speech was first invented, I remember being young and saying, what is that? And I, at the time, I recognized, man, hate speech is, you're basically saying thought crime. Hate's a human emotion. What does that even mean? But again, the right or left, whoever was pushing it, the other side gave ground. The civil libertarians weren't there. They didn't say, well, you can't have hate speech. What are you talking about? Hate speech completely contradicts the notion of free speech, but now it is ingrained in our culture, and we've accepted it. So hate speech is thought crime, and that's why you see all the political prisoners we have in Washington, D.C. I mean, those prisoners are there because we allowed this to be constructed. They've been denied all due process for a year and a half. Do you see anybody really? Tucker Carlson's thrown a few tidbits out there. Alex Jones has talked about him. Alex Jones, of course, is on trial again for like that. Seems like he's on trial every week now. But this is allowed. We've allowed this to fester because we've allowed the process to become completely politicized. And we lost. The rational side lost. The other side, and the other side has gone completely nuts now. You know, when I was writing Hidden History, I didn't think that, you know, in the very near future, I was going to be looking on social media and seeing pictures of underage girls with huge Frankenstein scars across their chests because they had their breasts removed and their moms and doctors standing, smiling, you know, beaming broadly next to them. It's all over social media now. This to happen.
And the one thing that I was kind of curious about, Chandra Levy, whatever became of that? I mean, did you ever investigate that?
Well, I don't really know. I didn't delve into it too much, but I mentioned it, I think, in the book. But you had the congressman who's, God, the name escapes.
Gary Condit,
yeah. Who was, and I don't, I really don't know whether, I mean, apparently he might have been having an affair with her. So, yeah, he should have come under scrutiny. But the only thing I remember really being intriguing about that was that her body was eventually found in an open area that had been searched many times. I think it was like a year or something until they found it later. That always, you know, draws my interest because it happens way too often in a lot of murders where they'll search an area over and over again, and then suddenly it'll be out pretty much in the open. So I don't even know what that means. But
body dump.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, you got to love that. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
More fodder for your upcoming book, Don.
Yeah, that's right.
Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Don Jeffries. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I was 9 years old, and I was staying at home because I had the mumps when JFK got assassinated. And I was watching TV, and it came on TV. And wow, you guys have covered so many things. I think the best thing that grandparents could do, because I think sometimes grandparents can get through to their grandchildren better than the parents can, and make them, you know, or study psychology, at least how they're playing us, and also history, you know, just like you're doing. Because I'm getting so discouraged about this generation, you know. I just hope there's some out there that, you know, that we've got some hope. But, Don, is American Free Press going to carry this new book? Are you going to have it on?
I'm sure they will, and they sold all my other books. So, and again, I sent it to it. My primary publisher is Skyhorse, which is getting bigger and bigger. Their division of Simon & Schuster now. They published Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s book, which went to number one, and now they published Alex Jones's book, which I think went to number one as well. So they got some bigger authors now. So hopefully they'll still stick with the likes of me, but they should. I sent it to them. I haven't heard back, but the process takes a while. So I would expect it to be out next year if they turn me down for whatever, because they turned a couple of my books down, but they've published the Hidden History ones.
You're talking about
Skyhorse? Yeah, Skyhorse.
Okay.
I think they'll probably publish this, but I just haven't gotten a word yet. I haven't signed a contract with them yet.
Well, if you're a ghost, AI is farther along than I thought it was, man.
Yeah. Well, and American Free Press, and I you mentioned that today on iProtest, I'm going to have Paul Angel, who is the editor of American Free Press. And I don't talk about that enough, but I do write. It's where most of my income comes from. To tell you the truth, folks, it's America's last free newspaper. And it gives me a chance to be disciplined and write as a reporter, because you have a word count and everything. And I typically have three articles in every issue, and it comes out every other week, and so people can check that out. America's last free newspaper, and I extensively covered the Hunter Biden laptop thing and his dealings in Ukraine, and I've written a lot about the January 6th defendants, and I've had several of them on my show, a couple of them anonymously because they're frightened, understandably so. So it's a big story. I mean, we, you know, that, and that's the problem, is we didn't get here again by accident. And we are at this stage where you can, if you want to see where we're at, just turn on. I was watching a little bit earlier, regardless what you think of Alex Jones, just look at his most recent show trial, his present show trial. See the way these judges are now. And just, you should be trembling in fear at going in one of these courtrooms, because you don't have a chance. I mean, there's not even a pretense of, it's an absolute virtue signaling fest. This is a social justice warrior, just like his other previous female judge was. Doesn't make any pretense about being, and you can look at their social media and see all the things that they support. And I don't want to be tried by someone like that, but unfortunately, this is, because, you know, they're starting with Alex Jones, they're not going to stop with him. They're going to go out to the smaller.
And Don, you see, one of the things I got to ask too, Sherry, not to cut you off here, but one of the things I got to ask is, how the hell, as his attorney, do you screw up a case like that?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because, again, people shy away from Sandy Hook, and a lot of it is because Alex Jones apologized early on unnecessarily. He threw Wolfgang Halberg under the bus. I've had Wolfgang on my show. I don't know what the hell happened to Wolfgang, but I'm sure he feels betrayed. And, you know, none of these guys, as far as I know, none of these guys were saying definitively that no one died or anything like that. And I'm very careful when I talk about that. It's like, I don't know what happened, but it's not irresponsible to ask questions. And there's a lot of questions to be asked. And his defense from the very beginning should have been that. But instead, he started backtracking and apologizing. And he should, his attorney should have said, look, this is a First Amendment case. We can't present a defense unless you let us show, because this was an ideal situation. I would love to be in court and be able to show this evidence. So let's look at the helicopter footage here. This is taken during the immediate aftermath of the shooting. Just show the jury. This, and all you have to do is see nothing's going on. So, okay, we're told there was a mass shooting there. So that's what you do. You don't have to say and draw any conclusions. Show the footage. Show the interviews. Talk about all the nonsensical things. Show the interview with the school nurse that a local reporter in my area, Andrea McCarron, conducted, where she gushes over what a wonderful kindergarten teacher Adam Lanza's mom was at the school. Much beloved. Later turns out she had no connection at all to the school. And I wrote to Andrea McCarron, and I said, well, what did you think of that? That interview, I mean, you know, how could the nurse make a mistake like that? That she was a beloved kindergartner teacher at the school and she had no connection? She goes, yeah, I thought so too, but there was no conspiracy. That was her line.
Dave, can I ask you a question real quick about the Alex Jones trial? How can a judge keep them from presenting an defense and then say you can bring it up on appeal when I thought you had to... you could only appeal things that you brought up in the trial.
That's exactly one of the things that they were advocating for, was the right to present that defense. And the judge said, no, we're not going to allow it. So that does make it an appealable issue.
So,
this is why we have appellate. Yeah, Sherry, this is why we have appellate courts. The lower court judges make mistakes. And they have that political agenda. And this is one of the reasons we were alluding to here.
But I think this is Alex Jones' third or fourth trial, and I believe that he should, which, again, I don't know how you can be tried repeatedly for the same thing, but I don't think he made the First Amendment argument in the first trial. And I looked at, people sent me the private statements at the hearing, I guess, for the grand jury or something early on, and it was really sad to see. Both Alex and Rob Dew, his producer, who loved Hidden History and had me on the show way back when, and Paul Joseph Watson, people like that, to see their testimony, they never mentioned the First Amendment. They never mentioned free speech. I just think they handled it the wrong way. He's had a series of awful attorneys. Really, his last one, the guy Dino, in the last trial, that guy was Dino from the Flintstones could have done a better job of representing him. So I know, but we should all, regardless what you think, Alex Jones, this is a horrible precedent because it's putting people on trial for expressing their opinions, and it's trying to solidify the notion in law that you can go too far with speech, and that's a very dangerous concept.
Well, it is, and that's one of the things that, you know, we had Patrick Wood and Alex Newman both on this show, and both of them said the same thing, quoting each other, and that is when freedom of speech is killed or dies, and I'm paraphrasing here, when they get rid of freedom of speech, that's when the killing starts. I think it's already in motion.
Yeah, definitely. And you talked about Rex 84 in the camps. You know, I hear from so many people, because in my own life, only my son supports me. Nobody else in my family does. Most of my family doesn't acknowledge what I'm doing at all.
They have cancel culture.
They've canceled me. Yeah, and you know, I'm not vaccinated, and they are. So they, you know, I haven't been invited to weddings, things like that. So I don't get any support there.
No.
But thank goodness I hear from people every day all around the world that have read my stuff and read my books or my Substack and listen to me, my show, or me on Jeff Rents or something. And it keeps me going. But
Don, you had a mindset not to take the jab. You probably haven't even had a swab stuck up your nose.
No, because I knew from the beginning they were doing that on purpose.
See, and I knew this. I knew this too, and we're in the same boat. So understand that people all around us are dropping dead, and I keep trying to tell people, look, I'm not the nutcase here. You bought into everything that they've been putting out there. You ate what was on their plate, and it's killing people.
Yeah, and that's the reason I brought up Rex 84 is because I tell people that was one of my talking points for a while, because obviously I've met very few of these people because most of them aren't in my area. But I tell them, I would love to meet all of you. But the problem is I don't want it to be in a FEMA camp, and I'm increasingly scared that that's what's going to happen, and we will be meeting each other in FEMA camps.
Never know. Charles in Ohio, you are on the phone with Don Jeffries. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope you're both well. I just wondered if about a couple of issues, I wondered if you may have covered in this book, the death of Sonny Bono. G. Gordon Liddy's wife, and I wondered if you had any opinion on Chuck Barris.
Chuck Barris? He's talking about the Gong Show guy? Sonny Bono, I did go into it a little bit in the book, and I went into it also even more in On Borrowed Fame, I think. Very suspicious. Sonny Bono was a congressman, you know, former big-time entertainer, Sonny and Cher, was a songwriter, too. So he actually, although he's in On Borrowed Fame, I realized, curiously, he didn't get out and do that well financially, even though he was the big songwriter, where Cher did, who was no songwriter. But he asked a lot of questions at the hearing. He grilled Janet Reno about Waco. Rumors that he was, you know, Ted Gunderson of the FBI said he was looking into human trafficking and all that. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do know that he's kind of stood out during his brief tenure in Congress as someone who was one of the better ones. And the way he died, I mean, it was ridiculous to be, you know, to run into a tree. He was an experienced skier. And what really made it, I'd never heard of any famous person dying that way. And two of them did in that one week, because the other one was Michael Kennedy, who was one of RFK's sons, who died the same way, supposedly while playing touch football. So within a week, we lost two prominent people who were expert skiers. And they just couldn't help themselves from running into a tree. So, I have lots of questions about that.
Very good.
Okay.
And did you see any – did you look at all in the Chuck Barris story?
I don't know. I talked to John Barber, my friend, John Barber. John Barber was the original host of The Gong Show, and he was replaced after a week by Chuck Barris. But I think he kind of laughs at that. I don't know. You know, it's would it be possible? I'm not saying it's impossible, but I really can't comment. I haven't looked at it enough to think that he was he a hitman who became a talk show host? I don't know. I guess there's a lot of crossover between we saw all the mobsters like Johnny Roselli that dated lots of movie stars, and it's a crossover between the criminal world and the entertainment world. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but I really haven't researched it.
All right, Charles in Ohio, thanks so much for your call. Tom in Michigan, you are on the phone with Don Jeffries. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, I heard Alex say on a show that they wouldn't let him bring up the First Amendment. The judge just shut that down. So, I mean,
yes.
That's all I got to say.
No, and that's was my point, is I think that was the last trial. But that was his third trial, I think. So my point is, when this process began, When he was first sued for this, he should have had competent attorneys, not these clowns he's been hiring, and that should have been there. He did not make a First Amendment defense. I watched his taped testimony, and Watson's testimony, Rob Dew's testimony. None of them mentioned the First Amendment, not one time. That should have been all they talked about instead of saying why did we say this on certain. And he should have been predicated on, look, this is what we speculate about a lot of stuff. That's what we do. We ask questions. We're allowed to do that. And I never heard him say that and said, he wastes time on apologizing and saying, I used to think they were, now. No, that's a losing proposition. And you see, it's not, whatever strategy is, it's not working for him. And it's horrible that he keeps having to go through this. It makes no sense. And nobody's defending him. Nobody. That's why I say, if you think your Republicans are your friends, see how many Republicans out there. What's that guy? What's the guy that he hosts? He used to be in Congress. Some people like him. Devin Nunes, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, Nunes, yeah, True Social.
Yeah, yeah, and he got on there after Alex Jones' last trial and just blasted him, saying this is ridiculous. Nobody should be talking about Sandy Hook. That's the Republican position. So if you want to keep saying like Owen Schroyer does still, the Democrats, well, it may be, but the Republicans aren't your friend. Most of them aren't. And,
well, we're talking rhinos here, too. That's another thing, Don, that we have to put up. Our one-party system, which is pretty much how it's manifested itself,
yes,
is it's broken.
Absolutely. It used to be, you know, I used to call them Republicrats and stuff, but it's because of so many years of the Republicans being the stupid party and the Democrats being the evil party. That's what I used to call them, evil and stupid. And now it has got, the Democrats have gotten so evil and the Republicans have gotten so stupid, generally speaking, again, there's a handful of exceptions, that we are in the position, that's my old party, the Democrats. I don't think there's a single, other than my friends, people I've made, like Cindy Sheehan, the International Peace, Cynthia McKinney, former member of Congress, and Naomi Wolf. These are all people that I've gotten to know, and they're great. But
yeah, same here. We've had Naomi on the show before, and I really love her attitude about the Constitution from a journalistic perspective. I don't care if she's a Democrat. I just told her, I said, look, we need to get past all that and start having a conversation about what really matters here.
Yeah, and Naomi, she's
good with it.
She is, and she's a civil libertarian like I am. There aren't many of us left, and she wrote the foreword to my book, Survival of the Rich. It's a paperback edition, so very gratified for that. But there's not enough of us to make any kind of difference, and I'm not ready to be a Republican, but I find myself siding with that side all the time because the other side has gone absolutely crazy.
Well, it makes me wonder with the less than a minute we have left here, with the time before we are out of time, is this whole thing with everybody worried about the Great Reset and if we're going to actually be able to stop it. What's it from the conspiracy side of things very quickly? What are you seeing?
I can't be optimistic, and I wish I could be, but the basic line is that until there are more people awake than there are asleep, nothing will change. Because we have a huge numbers advantage on this very small group that is tyrannizing us. But as long as we don't do anything, it doesn't matter how many. We can outnumber them by the billions. It doesn't matter. And so at this point, I can't be very optimistic. I don't see certainly the pandemic for the last couple of years and the people scurrying around in masks and obeying these absurd non-scientific mandates. It doesn't give me very much confidence in its dissolution be further. But I wish I could be more optimistic. But all I can do is I'm grateful for the people that are awake. And there are more people waking up each day. There's just not enough of us to stop them at this point.
Well, we appreciate your time, Don Jeffries, on this program. He's got multiple books out, folks, just besides On Borrowed Fame, which we've talked about before. It's a great book. But Hidden History, if you get a chance, it's on Amazon, Hidden History. Just type in Donald Jeffries and buy all the books. I mean, they're all good.
My website is donaldjeffries.media, too. You can find out everything about me there.
There you go. Well, we appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much. Here we are. Another show has come to an end. Happy weekend to all of you folks. Stay safe and remember, God bless you and God bless the United States of America, at least what's left of it.
And the lover of my soul, creator God, he is Yahweh. Great I am, he is Yahweh. The Lord of all, he is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, he is Yahweh. The righteous son, he is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.